Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. We'll read verses 10 through 14 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Let's finish on verse 14 together. Ready? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. Lord, thank you for the season where even the world slows down just a little bit. We think about you. We see the signs of reminder about you. And Lord, please, our preacher has been faithful all these years and has spent time beside you. Help him today as he brings back to us what he's gotten from you so that you could change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You heard it here first. This morning, my sermon, it's not going to be bombastic. If you will listen, it will change your life. If you'll listen, it will protect your life in a way that many of you need protecting. I think there's an addiction that is worse than an addiction to drugs. I think there is an addiction that is worse than booze or cigarettes or pornography or gambling. Those sins are bad sins, and I wouldn't want you ever to have any of those things as an addiction, but those things are dangerous to you and to others. You're better off being addicted to cigarettes, booze, drugs, pornography, or gambling than to be addicted to the subject about which I will discuss with you today. You all have heard the story of the Grinch. Now, I'm not a promoter of the fat man in the red suit. I think he's a lie, and I think he tries to steal the thunder from Jesus Christ at this time of the year. But you know, the Grinch hated Christmas. I mean, everybody's heard the story of the Grinch. He hated Christmas. And to be honest, to hate Christmas is to hate the purpose of Christmas. And yeah, that's Jesus Christ. Right. And so to hate Christmas is a sin. But if the Grinch had hated Christmas, that would have been a fault of the Grinch, and the Grinch would have been hurting the Grinch. But if you all know the story, the Grinch didn't just hate Christmas for himself. He tried to ruin Christmas for everybody. He tried to hurt all the Whos in Whosville. He tried to hate them over his hatred for Christmas. And that's a little worse, you see. If someone wants to do wrong, and that wrong then hurts them. But when somebody begins to hurt others, It's not just sin. The Bible describes that as evil. You see, had the Grinch hated Christmas for the Grinch, then the Grinch would be sinning. But when the Grinch went to hurting others, the Grinch not only was being sinful, he had now become evil. And that is virtually the message that is being sent in that whole story about evil. Again, I don't
I'm not going to be bombastic. You're going to have to pay attention on purpose. I almost did not preach this sermon on a Sunday morning because I fear that some of you that are a little more immature in regard to your church behavior would disrupt the service enough that people could not follow me logically. So I've asked the Holy Spirit in a special way to still you so that I might teach something and that the teaching will help keep your attention rather than me running all over the place trying to fight you to keep your attention. So please pay attention and don't disrupt the teaching. I'm going to teach a lesson today, preach a sermon, if you will, called How Sinners Become Evil. How Sinners Become Evil. Notice the Bible said there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." The Bible tells us, even prophetically, even as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, that things are going to complicate. Sin is going to be complicated. There's going to be more of it. And here it tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And folks, we live in days that are far more evil than ever. Yes. Now, my introduction is a lesson within itself, so you'll have to listen carefully. See, before I can get to the real lesson, I've got to teach a lesson to get you to the lesson. Our church, many of you have heard me say this before. I taught one whole sermon or preached a whole sermon on it some years ago. But let me again say to everybody, there is a difference in sin and evil. Two different words, sin and evil. Now, both are bad, but they are not identical. They are not synonymous. They're not exactly alike. There's a difference in sin and evil. And so you understand evil is worse than sin. Evil is worse than sin. If you let sin go, you let sin run, it will turn into evil. Sin is what you do that hurts you. Evil is when you start hurting others. So if I sin, I'm hurting Jeff Owens, but if I turn evil, I start hurting others. Evil is actually an intentional plan to hurt others. Give you an example. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you and I'll tell you a little bit of the story behind it. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 4 says, this is David speaking. David said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." This is David. He's speaking to God. Again, listen to it. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Now, what happened? David one day committed adultery with a woman by the name of Bathsheba. He sinned in committing adultery. Then she ends up pregnant. He's not married to her. David wants to figure out how he can cover his tracks. He's got to figure out, I just committed the sin of adultery with that woman. She's now pregnant. I've got to do something to cover it up. And he begins to develop an evil plan. Sin, the adultery, now an evil plan. And you know what the man does? David is the captain. He oversees the armies. Bathsheba, the woman with whom he had committed adultery, her husband's name is Uriah. Uriah is in David's army. And David said, "I slept with this guy's wife. She's now pregnant. I've sinned. Now I've got to cover my tracks. I've got to figure out how I'm going to deal with this." And he said, "You know what I'll do? I'll take her husband, who is under my command. And when we go into battle, I'm going to put him all the way at the front of the battle. I'll have the men behind him retract themselves. The enemy will kill Uriah. And then I'm not going to have a problem with Uriah in regard to this thing of the fact that I slept with his wife." David started an evil plot. He sinned when he stumbled and he made that mistake of adultery, and then he let the sin complicate. Now he's actually become evil and on purpose, knowledgeably said, "I will now kill Uriah, and I have a plan on how I'm going to do it." He sinned in his adultery. He became evil and plotted the death of Uriah. So you all know something. Gossip is a form of evil. Gossip is not just sin, it is evil. Revenge is evil. Revenge is intentional. It's an intentional hurtfulness. Now, folks, let's look at something here. You know, everybody's a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, no Christian wants to be evil. Not a real Christian. They don't want to be evil. But what happens is, if we're not careful, we start doing the things that will cause us to turn into an evil person. Let's face it. You go down the path that leads to evil, you're going to end up being evil. You may not go down that path on purpose, but if you go down that path, you're going to end up being evil. Now, folks, you and I, we cannot live above sin. We're all sinners. We may not be able to live above sin, but you dead sure can live above evil. And remember, sin is what you do that hurts you. Evil is when you have a plan and you hurt other people. We can't live above sin because we are sinners. But the Bible clearly teaches that you and I can live above evil. That means I may stumble and fall and do something sinful against my God. But as far as me sitting around and planning on hurting someone, God said, now that right there, you could have stopped that. That was a premeditated hurtfulness. And God said, I can deal with your sin. But when you become evil, God said, you are now at a level that is very dangerous for a Christian. See, becoming evil is like becoming addicted to any other sin. Did you know, you can almost, well, I think you can, just like becoming drunk and you become an alcoholic, you can become an evil-aholic. You get into evil and you become addicted to it. And anybody here that's ever dealt with an alcoholic, they start out in charge of their drinking, and then their drinking takes charge of them. Right? You started out in charge of the pornography, and then it seems somehow to take charge of you. You started out, and when you smoked the dope, took the coke, popped the pill, you started out and you were in charge of it. But then it took charge of you. And you start out as a sinner feeling like you can control evil. It's not long until evil is in control of you. And remember, there's a difference in sin and evil. Becoming evil does not happen overnight. No one plans to become evil. There is a progression. There is a process to becoming evil. There are steps to becoming evil. Now, I want to teach you those steps. There's some people in here, you need desperately to listen to this sermon. I'm about to tell you what happened to you. I'm about to tell you what happened to your attitude. I'm about to tell you why you are where you are today. Where you used to be, you're not there anymore. Some are on the way to becoming evil. There might be somebody in this room that is evil. You know, let's face it. The devil, he wants evil in the church. You can be dead sure of that. I call the sermon, How Sinners Become Evil. Now, I'm talking to everybody because everyone's a sinner. Everyone's a sinner. But remember, we're all going to be sinners. That doesn't mean that we have to be evil. So, you stay with me today. It's going to be line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm going to give you some steps. I am not going to rant and rave. I'm not going to yell and scream all over the place. But I'll promise you, there are people in this room, if you do not listen to what I'm about to say, we won't see you in this church a year from now. You'll be all messed up and you will ruin your life because you went from being a sinner to becoming evil. Y'all know, does the word evil bother you? Evil, sin's bad enough, but evil puts me on edge. You ever been around someone where you think, that's just, they're evil. You sense it about them. You listen, and listen very carefully. Number one, you are a sinner.
Yes.
You are a sinner. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is described with point number one. Everyone is a sinner. What is sin? Sin is when we miss the mark. God told us, I want you to do this, and we missed the mark. Did we miss the mark on purpose? No, but we just missed the mark. We are not what we are supposed to be. Sin is we stumble, and sin is we fall. But wait a minute. Evil is when someone is out to hurt someone. Evil is when someone is out to injure someone. Evil is when someone, they're not only, they on purpose are drawing people in to their sinful ways. That's evil. Now remember, everybody's a sinner. But not everybody has to be evil. So, point one, you are a sinner. Number two. How do I end up being evil? Number two, you just hang out with evil people. Just hang out with evil people. Listen to this verse. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16 says this. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. And pass away, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause someone to fall. You hear that? There it says, this evil person, they're out to cause someone to fall, they're out to trip somebody up, they're out to hurt someone, and God said, enter not into their path. Don't go in the way of evil men. Listen to all the repetition here. He said, enter not into the path, go not in the way, avoid it, pass not, turn from it, pass away. You know what he's saying? Get out of there. Get out of there. Get away from the evil. See, everybody's a sinner. Now we're all susceptible then to doing worse. We don't want to become evil. And God said, if you don't want to be evil, don't hang out with evil people. Because God said, don't even go around where they are. See, the first step to becoming evil is being around evil people.
Yes.
You don't have to be evil to be around evil people. But if you're around evil people, eventually you'll become an evil people.
Right.
If you're around them, you'll become like them. If you're around them physically, you see, in this day and age, we have so much technology, you got to put it out there. If you don't want to be evil, don't be sitting around at a restaurant with evil people.
Yes.
Then you're going to have to watch your telephone. You don't want to be evil. You got to be careful not being with evil people on the telephone. If you don't want to be evil, if you're in your social networking, don't be around evil people. You say, Brother Owens, I am not evil. But the Bible says you are to stay away from evil people. How do you think the evil people became evil? They were around evil people and they ended up becoming evil. You see, number one, you're a sinner. Number two, if you want to become evil, or if you're in the process of becoming evil, you hang out with evil people. If you spend your time with people who are out to hurt, you'll become like that. You spend your time around critical people, you're going to become like that. If you spend your time around gossipy people, you're going to become like that. You know, we've all heard the saying, you lay down with the dogs, you're going to wake up with fleas. You say, but I'm not evil. I know, you're a sinner. But God told sinners to not go in the way of evil people. Number three, first of all, I'm a sinner. Number two, I start hanging around with evil people. People, their talk, their efforts, they want to hurt somebody. They're trying to tear somebody or something down. Number three, when you're with them, you then hear evil. You hear it. You hear it. 2 Corinthians 6:8 says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true. You see, when you're with evil people, you say, I am not evil. But while you're with evil people, you know what evil people are going to do? They're going to be evil. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to figure that out. What's evil? Well, they're trying to hurt somebody. And so you're with them. And while you're with them, you hear what the Bible calls the evil report. Now, you are not only with them, now you have in your mind their evil report. I don't like evil reports because I'm trying to stay away from becoming evil. I don't want to hurt anybody. The Bible teaches that we're to be friends to the sinner. But you show me somewhere in the Bible where it tells you to be a friend to an evil person.
Right.
I'm to be a friend to a sinner. What's that? That's somebody that's hurting themselves. They've fallen short. Oh, but wait a minute. Nowhere in the Bible does it say I ought to be friends with evil people. Why? Evil people are out to hurt people. I'm not supposed to be around that kind of a person. What happens to me, if I get around someone that's evil, but I'm not evil, I'm going to hear their evil. And once I hear their evil, they put their evil in my brain. Now, you say, but I'm strong. God said you're not supposed to be around them. Why? God's saying you're not strong enough to hear the evil. Evil people want you to listen so they can... let me tell you what evil people will do. If somebody's really evil and you're around them, they're going to lace their evil with some goodness. Evil people will say this. Let's say somebody's out to destroy Rick Young. This is how they'll handle themselves with you, because they want you to listen. Especially after a lesson like this. Because we're just getting started. It'll be very revealing. They want to destroy Rick Young, so this is how they'll handle it. I'll tell you what, that Rick Young's a really hard worker, and there's some things about him I admire greatly, but let me tell you something. Hear that? But let me tell you something. What did they do? They are cloaking their intent in compliment.
Yes,
I'm about to cut his throat. I knew you wouldn't listen to me if I come out of the gate with a knife, so I'll compliment him first, then I plan to stab him with the knife.
Yeah.
But the only way I can earn your hearing is to compliment. Y'all know what I mean, don't you? I really like that preacher, but I'll tell you what. You didn't fool me any. Your intent was not the compliment. That was your bait. That was your bait to get somebody to listen to you. So you watch, and you take your social networking and all that. They're going to throw enough compliments in there to keep you enticed. Like you love. You like this, but you got to tell us everything that's wrong with it. So you see, evil people want you to listen. So they're smart enough to entice you with something positive about the one they want to attack, because they know there's enough goodness about you that if you just launch a vicious, nasty attack, you're liable to walk away. You got enough Christianity, maybe you'll walk away. But so what are they going to do? They're going to lace it. They lace it. Smart. And you're not going to outfox the old fox. That's the devil. And so, number one, you're a sinner. That ought to put you on edge. That'll make you say, I'm going to be extra careful. Number two, you begin to hang out with evil people. That doesn't make you evil, but while you're with evil people, what's going to happen? You're going to hear their evil. You're going to hear their evil. Then what? Well, what happens next? Well, then you're liable to develop an evil heart. You're liable to develop an evil heart. Jeremiah 3:17 says this, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. All the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk anymore after the imagination of their evil heart. You see, you start out a sinner, you get to hanging around people who are evil, then you end up hearing their evil. Now, as you're hearing their evil, they are messing with your heart. They're messing. You're getting this evil inside you, and it begins to mess with your heart, and you begin to develop an evil heart. You see, folks, here's the problem. We think way too highly of ourselves. Some of you have way too much confidence in your Christianity. You'll put yourself in the way of things that you should never be around. There's some of you think that you can go down to the bar where they're dancing and partying and getting high and be a good Christian all the time that you're there. You're just way too confident in yourself. And you think you can get around to evil people, and you're such a powerhouse of Christianity. You're so filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You know the Bible so well. You could be with these evil people. They're not going to affect you. You're strong. And the devil says, got you, sucker. All I needed was for you to think that you were strong enough, and now I can lace it with compliment. I'll get something in your heart. I'm going to put evil in you, and I'm going to get the seed sown to where I can get you where the evil person now is. You see, we think too highly of ourselves. We think we can hear evil and not be influenced to become evil. See, evil reports begin to cause you to question other people's integrity, influenced by the devil. You then find yourself constantly suspicious. Constantly judgmental. Folks, if I were you, I'd stay away from evil people, lest they sow a seed that produces discord in your heart. Why in the world do you think God said, get out of there? Yes. God knows the devil's smarter than you, and you're better off not even going in the devil's backyard than going in the devil's backyard saying, I'm strong enough to play here and it's not going to get me. And so, how do sinners, which we all are, become evil? Well, we face it, we're a sinner. But then you get to hanging out with evil people. Then you hear the evil. Then you begin to develop an evil heart. Well, what's next? Y'all ever heard that verse? Out of the abundance of the heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. Well, this thing's going somewhere, huh? Next thing you know, I start speaking evil.
Yes, sir.
You say, am I evil yet? Probably not yet. But you've heard it. And you've got evil in your heart. And whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out. Where's it going to come out? Your mouth or your fingers while you're texting, or your fingers while you're sending your emails. Now you start speaking evil. 1 Peter 4:4 says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Hey, folks, evil speaking is not cussing. Evil speaking is tearing others down. Evil speaking is judgmental criticism. Evil speaking. See, evil is intent to damage. Evil is intent to hurt. That's what evil is. You say, I heard a guy use God's name in vain. That's evil. No, that's sin. That's sin. Evil's when he got up and said to everybody, let's all cuss. Let's all use God's name in vain. What am I doing? I'm rallying people to my cause. I want to hurt God. I'm going to tear God down. And I'm not just going to do it myself. I'm going to get other people. I'm going to influence others to become a part. So now, if you run with evil people, then you're going to hear the evil. If you hear the evil, you're now developing an evil heart because they sowed something inside you, and you're going to start trying to figure that thing out. Then what is placed in your heart, the Bible says, is going to come out of your mouth. And it's saying that there's something. You better be careful. See, listen. Evil people will try to make you, and this happens all the time. Evil people will try to make you feel like if you reject their evil report that you think you're better than them. They'll try to make you feel bad about rejecting their evil report. Like, who do you think you are? You better than me? Yes. Yes. Sinners are better than evil people. Get that? Yes. You make yourself, well, who? You think you're perfect? No, I'm a sinner, but I'm not like you. I'm not evil.
Amen.
Yeah, I make mistakes, but I'm not out to destroy anybody. And when somebody evil comes around, they're going to try to use, they're going to play the sin card on you. Like, who do you think you are? I know something about you. You better be careful. Whoever you're with, you're probably going to be their next victim. But I'm here to tell you, yes, when somebody says, well, you want to reject my evil report and I wanted to attack someone and destroy their character and destroy them, and you think you're better than me? Yes, you are. If you reject it, because we're all sinners and sinners are better than evil people, it's taught all the way through the Bible. You see, we sin if we let it get in our heart. If it comes in our ears, it becomes a part of our heart, our emotion. And before long, here we are speaking evil. If you're around evil people, you hear them talk bad about others, it gets in your head.
Yes, sir.
How good are you at keeping your mouth shut? Let's be honest. Why does everyone say to us, I don't want you to tell anyone? What's our problem? Do you keep your mouth shut? You heard evil. You don't even know if it's true. Now you've heard it. What are you going to do with it? Well, it's going to die with me. You know how rare that is that somebody's got that kind of control over their mouth? Think about it. How really good are you at just keeping your mouth shut when you hear something that really, you don't even know if it's true? You're amazing, aren't you?
You say, well, trust me.
Well, I don't trust me. Why should I trust you? So, everyone's a sinner. Got it. We get to hanging around evil people. What happens? Hang around evil people doesn't mean you're evil, but you're going to hear evil. Now you've heard the evil. So you become very, very suspicious. You begin to logic through it. You start to develop an evil heart. Now, once you get it in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what's in your heart now is going to come out your mouth. Then what do I do? Well, if I'm on my way to becoming evil, I may find myself doing evil deeds. Now, up until now, I've spoken a little bit of it. Now I'm about to start doing evil deeds. Listen to 2 John 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. This is talking about somebody coming to you with a false gospel, and God said, I don't want you to even to bid them Godspeed. What are they doing? They here's somebody that is spreading falsity. God said, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And God said, somebody that is spreading falsity, you're not even to give them a blessing, because now you're becoming a part of their evil deeds. See, you spoke evil. Now we're going to watch. This thing's going to the next level. You're going to start doing evil deeds. Now, you're not even to put a blessing on the evil person. You're on your way to becoming evil if you start. See, it's like this. If someone's evil, you ought not be agreeing with them. You ought not be agreeing with them. You're not to go around them. You're not to listen to them. And you're not to bid them Godspeed. In other words, you don't be positive with them about their evil. You say, why? Because it justifies their evil. So you get around an evil person, and they're launching an attack, and you listen to it. And if you're not careful, if you give any sense of agreement or blessing, God said, you have now become a partaker of their evil deeds.
Right.
Now you're part of the evil connection.
Right.
I as Christians, I'm not supposed to. As Christians, we are not supposed to hurt people.
Right.
Our goal is not to hurt people. And that's what revenge will do to you. And that's what gossip will do to you. And so, get it. I got to hanging around some evil people. Am I evil? No, not yet. Then I heard, because while I was with them, I heard their negative report. Am I evil yet? No, but I'm on my way. Now that gets in my heart. And it's in my heart now. And now I've got a problem, because it will start coming out of my mouth. If it starts coming out of my mouth, now I'm finding myself as a partaker of evil, and I've got evil deeds as a part of what I am. Then what happens? Next, evil could become your way of life. Evil could become your way of living. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13 says this: the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way. There are people who allow evil to become their way. It's kind of what they're all about. Hey, you can find them. There are some people who have been at every church in the county. They go in, win people's hearts, sow their discord, sow their evil, make their mess, go somewhere else. It's the way they are. Some of you've watched. They come to your house over the holidays, sow their evil, go to somebody else's house over the holidays, somebody else in the same family, sow their evil, go somewhere else, sow their evil. It's becoming a way of life for them. You see, when it starts to become a way of life, you're now on the pathway of being an evil person. You used to have small encounters with evil, but it's pretty consistent anymore. It's now becoming a part of your daily routine. You're willing to stand around and talk bad about people. You also log in, and you virtually have discourse of evil constantly in your email. It used to be when you started it, you were uncomfortable with it. Now you're comfortable with it. Evil to you has now become a habit. Let me tell you all something. You'd be better off having the habit of drinking Because that'll destroy your body, but evil destroys people.
Yes, sir.
Destroys people. You started out to sincerely help maybe the evil person, but they changed you instead of you changing them. And just so you all know, that is almost always the case. You say, I think I'll help the evil person. Folks, please listen to me. I love you and I'm your pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. You say, I sincerely started out to help the evil person. Let me tell you what usually happens. The evil person changes you. You don't change the evil person. You say, I want to help somebody. Go find you a sinner and help them. There are plenty of sinners to help. The evil will destroy you. The sinner is destroying himself. And there is a difference. The Bible, over and over again, when you look at evil, I'm going to tell you again. Folks, let me tell you something. There are folks out there, hey, you know, people. There's some people that go out and they've been in the church and they love the Lord and then they fall and they get into sin. And you know what we're going to do? Time and time again, we're going to try to salvage them and we're going to go after them and try to get them back in. But you better think twice before you try to get the evil person back in, because all they want to do is destroy everybody. They're just out to hurt. Y'all listening to me?
Yes,
you see, we're sinners. Sinners get to spending time with evil people. Then they hear what the evil people say. They begin then, this person is not even evil. They begin to develop an evil heart. Then they start to speak the evil. Then they find themselves partaker of the evil deeds of life. Before long now, it's virtually becoming a way of life. It becomes virtually an addiction for them, just like somebody is sticking a needle in their arm. They were controlling the evil at first, just like the alcoholic. He said, I can drink these beers and I'm in control. Somewhere along the line, the power shifts and the power leaves the hand of the drunk and goes into the hand of the beer. And now the beer says, I've got you. And that's what evil does. You start out and say, I'm in control of this thing. It, before long, does a flip-flop on you and it's in control of you. And you are being evil and hurting people and you never intended to go there. You had too high opinion of how strong of a Christian you are. And God said, don't be around evil people. He said, but I love all sinners. You're supposed to. But I want to tell you, God never told you to be friends with evil people. He said, be friends with the sinners.
Yes,
what happens then? Well, you might have launched to try to help them and they turned you into an evil person. What comes next? Now you become not only evil in a particular deed, now you might become evil toward many. 2 Kings 17, verse 13 says, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways. You see, you may have gotten involved in evil one time. Now something has happened. Now it's more than one way. It's ways. It's plural. It has multiplied. You were evil toward one person. And you thought you could be evil toward one. The devil said, my goal was not that you got back at that one. My goal was that you became evil, so you'll be evil toward many. God will use your little dispute and your little, or the devil will use your little dispute and you use your little issue to get you to doing evil, listening to evil, being around evil. But that is not his ultimate goal, your little issue. His ultimate goal is to take your life over and to turn you into an evil person. I have watched people in a church that were mad about one person and became evil toward them, and you give them a year and they're mad at the church, attacking the whole church, every deacon, every pastor, everybody in the church. What happened? The devil said, you come on over here, I'll help you with evil against the one you want to target. And all the time he's doing it, he is tacking into your heart a lifelong intent of using you as an evil tool to hurt your church. Folks, any of you been around church for long? Haven't you ever seen it happen?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
Yes, sir.
You see, if not careful, not only will you participate in an act of evil, before long, there are many acts of evil. Soon you're not just hurting one person. Now it's many. Now you're joining forces with others. Now you're all getting together. You know who you can talk to and who you can't talk to. Now you're picking the sides for the destruction of someone. You have developed virtually within, and you maybe you didn't say we're doing this on purpose, but did you know evil people can find evil people that agree on a subject? The devil is building an evil army. That's what he always does. Now you've developed an evil system. You now influence others to join in that evil. You once were influenced by evil. Now you are the evil influencer. Let me say it again. You once were influenced by evil. Now you have become an evil influencer. You now justify and enjoy your gossip. Evil people will even test you to see how far you'll let them go. After they're comfortable, won't be long. You'll be stabbing people in the back, gossip about people, planning revenge. And the evil people think, well, we're right and everybody else is wrong. You're a people herder.
Yes, sir.
You see, there's a difference in sin and evil. I don't want to be evil in my life. I tell you what I have to be careful of. I have to be careful that I do not become evil against the evil. But I'm going to tell you right now, I hate evil. I'll help a drunk. I'll help a druggie. Boy, people that sin, I could help them all day long. But when somebody's out to destroy, somebody's out there vicious and frothing at the mouth and frothing at the fingers, and they're out to destroy, and they've got all their own little self-justification, there's a part of me that wants to destroy them. But I know the devil would like me to become evil toward the evil. I'm not going to turn my heart over to you. I'm going to go ahead and love you, but I'm not going to spend time with you. Hey, I've been around the country with pastors, and I'll sit down at a meal, and some pastor wants to tear into some other preacher in America and just destroy him. I'll get up and walk away from the table. I don't want to become evil. I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to be evil. Now, I'm a sinner, but I don't want to be evil, and I can't separate from all sinners because I'd be all alone. We're all on this ship together. But you don't have to be around evil people. And you don't have to be evil.
Right.
See, you were once influenced by evil. Now you've come through such a process, you are now an evil influencer. You're a people herder. Now, you have been through the process, and I would say, God would deem you as evil. Let me tell you again, how does it happen? You're a sinner. That's why we all better be careful of it. God, what do? I start hanging around evil people. Am I evil? Mm-mm. I'm just hanging around evil people. People that are out to destroy. People that are out to hurt. People that are out to pull down instead of build up. So while I'm there, I hear evil. Uh-oh, now I've got it in me. So now I become so suspicious. Now I become so judgmental. Now I want to see if there's an element. I want to know, is that true? Before long, the devil has sown something inside me that is now causing me to challenge the integrity of everybody. So now I've heard the evil. My heart is becoming evil. So the Bible says that the mouth is going to speak what we put in the heart. So now I start speaking it. Now God considers me. I've passed on evil, and now I am guilty of evil deeds. If you're not careful, evil will become a way of life. And before long, I'll not only be evil toward one or this one situation. And some of you say, I feel evil toward one situation. I'll tell you what's going to happen, though. It's not one situation. It is evil in general. He is not shooting for the situation. He's shooting for your behavior. He wants to take over, and he wants you to become an evil person. Now you finally find yourself. You're there and you're an evil person. 1 Peter 4:15 says this, and listen. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Good night. Murderer and evildoer are listed in the same scripture. Well, earlier I said I'd rather you be addicted to cigarettes than evil. You can smoke a cigarette, hurt yourself. And that doesn't mean you're destroying your church or destroying people. You're destroying you. You get addicted to evil, you will become highly destructive. You'll hurt more than what you'll hurt the souls of men. Oh my. Look at your company. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as an evildoer. Why in the world would God put murderer and evildoer in the same place? Character assassination. You can kill the body or you can kill the reputation. You can kill a body or you can kill someone's integrity. Well, you won't kill their integrity, but you can definitely mar it and cause people to question it. You didn't have to become evil. All you had to do is follow this. You didn't set out to become evil. All you did was follow these steps. Now you're there. Hey, let me ask you a question. Think about it in your heart. How much have you said to hurt somebody with your own justification? You say, well, from my angle. Okay. You put it any way you want. You say, well, everybody's a sinner. Right. We're not talking to you about your sin right now. I'm talking to you about your evil. And there's a difference. Think about it. Who have you hurt with your words? You say, they're true. Maybe God ought to spread everything He knows that's true about you. What your husband doesn't know. What your wife doesn't know. What took place in your mind. God knows everything about you. You say, but everybody's a sinner. I know. But not everybody has to be evil. Think about your heart. You say, but Brother Owens, they tried to hurt me. The Bible says we are not to render evil for evil. We are to render good for evil. See, you have taken the law into your own hands. You say, they tried to hurt me, so I'll hurt back. That's not what the Bible teaches you to do. They were evil toward me. That's what I told you. I got to be careful. Now, when people are evil toward me as an individual, I can put up with that. I seem to be able to take that. But I'll tell you this. When you're evil toward each other, it just breaks my heart. And I have to be careful. Because I know enough about people. Matter of fact, I know enough about the people in this room. I could become evil toward you and destroy you. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to become evil toward evil. And you better be careful that you don't become evil. You say, they hurt me. Okay, but God said, render good for evil. You say, that doesn't make sense. I know. It's God's way of thinking. You need to start thinking God's way. That's what the Christian life is all about. We're supposed to be different. You can go out in the world and you can go down to the office with the lost people and across the street at the factory and find a bunch of backstabbing cutthroats that are out to destroy people. You want to live that way? Go ahead. But you'll destroy yourself and a bunch of other people. Christians are sinners with a certain amount of dignity because we may have to be sinners, but we do not have to be evil. I may not be. I'm not perfect and I'm not sinless. I am a sinner. God knows my heart. I'm not out to destroy anybody, nor do I want to be a part of anything that is out to assassinate somebody's character or hurt them. I'm out to build people up. And then, what happens? Evil in your life will become worse and worse. That's where we start out. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Evil will take you over. This is where a lot of you make your mistake. You think you can be around evil and not become evil. And that's the way the devil wants it. The devil says, I'm going to hand this to you. You be in charge. You say, well, if I'm in charge. Somewhere along the way, he takes over. You say, well, it's not me. Go to an alcoholic and ask him if he's an alcoholic. You know what he says? Well, nah. Stop any time. Y'all smart enough to know that? What happened to the evil? You started tipping it up a little bit here, had all your self-justification, picked your one little issue, formed your little group doing it all, and you say, well, I'm in charge. No, you're not in charge. You're a sucker. The devil suckered you in. He baited you. He's getting ready to stick an arrow through you. Evil takes you over. Now you can justify just about anything. You are superior in your thinking. And see, once you start down the evil path, it gets harder and harder to quit. You know, the addiction. There are people in here that have been addicted to booze. Very difficult to quit. Addiction to drugs, pornography, cigarettes, very hard. Evil is probably a harder addiction to get over than any. So I'm warning you, don't become evil. If you're on the path, get off of it quick. Say, I'm out. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. It may be the worst. I think evil may be the worst addiction on earth. You will self-destruct and take many other people with you. You say, what do you do? The Bible says, run from evil people. 3 John 11 says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. The Bible says in Psalm 140, verse 1, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Proverbs 2:12 says to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Proverbs 4, verse 14, 15, 16 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Remember, the Bible says we ought to do everything we can to reclaim the sinner. Evil people are in a mess. They are in a mess. A lot of times evil people or people think they're pretty spiritually smart. You be careful. Those of you that are smarter about the things of God, you could have the tendency through your pride to become evil. You're not to use your spiritual education against people. You're to use it to glorify God and to help people. The Grinch hated Christmas. I think it's sin. Where the Grinch really went wrong is he tried to destroy lots of others. And that's where the old Grinch stepped out of the realm of sin and became evil. If you're here today and you've never been born again, I want to invite you to the Savior. The sermon has been preached to born-again Christians. If you're here today and you're not saved, I hope that you'll get saved. The Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible teaches there's a penalty for sin, and that penalty is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ died for us, was buried for us, and resurrected for us, and God has made a way for us to be saved and go to heaven someday when we die. You need to trust Christ as Savior. If you're not saved, I invite you to the Savior. You need to get born again. If you're a Christian, I want you and you alone to ask yourself where you're at on the path to becoming evil. You might need a moment at the altar to say, oh God, help me. I have been duffed by the devil. And by the way, you're not coming to a pastor that's mad at anybody. You're coming to a pastor that loves everybody, who's trying to show you, protect yourself. There's a handful of men in this auditorium that have pastored through the years, and they would say to you, right there it is. I've seen it happen time and time again, where evil hurts people terribly and they don't even see it coming. And a lot of times sincere people that just launched out to help the evil, and the evil, instead of being changed, changed them. If you need the altar will be open. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Would anybody here say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. God bless you. I see that hand. Someone else, I need to be saved. God bless you. I see that hand. You may put those hands down. In a moment, we'll have an altar call and you may come. Christians, let the Holy Spirit of God work on you. Protect you. Think. I'll ask the instrumentals to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. You need the altar, you come. If you're not saved, you walk up to one of the men at the aisle and say, I need to be born again. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. Make sure their heart is pure. Not out to hurt anybody, not saying words to hurt anybody, not spreading anything to hurt anybody. Saying, I think they need discipline. Well, God will do it. God's capable. We're all sinners, and we're going to have. destroy churches, evil people do. Sinners don't destroy revival, evil people do. Guy goes out, does something stupid, gets drunk, gets right with God. God may spank that fella, but I'll tell you this. It is far, far, so much more destructive. You get somebody going around the church, tearing the church unity apart, tearing the spirit of the church apart. You better be careful. Big difference between sin and evil.